Welcome to the Depth Dive. Today, we're jumping into personal injury law, specifically in Hazleton, Pennsylvania.
Right.
You, our listener, sent over some interesting stuff from a law firm based right there. And our mission today is really to understand, you know, what's involved in a personal injury claim.
Mm-hmm.
Why might you actually need a lawyer? And what kinds of cases pop up in that area?
Yeah, there's quite a range.
We'll also get into how fault gets decided, negligence, all that, and tackle some common questions.
Sounds good.
Because you see the ads, right? Injured. Call now. Ever wonder what's really behind that?
It's definitely more complex than just making a phone call.
Exactly. It can get pretty intricate. So let's kick things off. What does a personal injury attorney in Hazleton actually do for someone? What's the value?
Well, there are a few really key things the material highlights. First off, it's their knowledge and experience. Seriously, these claims can be complicated.
Oh, yeah. Legal procedures, deadlines, knowing how to build a strong case.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really something you just, you know, figure out on your own easily. An attorney knows the system.
Like having a guide through a maze, sort of?
Exactly like that. They've walked that path before. They know the pitfalls.
Okay. And the source mentioned evaluating the claim. How does that work? How do they know if you even have a case or, like, what it might be worth?
That's a critical early step. A good lawyer digs deep. They'll look at your injuries, sure, but also comb through medical records, police reports, talk to witnesses.
All the details.
All the details. Sometimes they even bring in experts. They're basically putting together the whole story to see, one, if someone was negligent, and two, how much harm that negligence caused. That gives them an idea of the claim's strength and potential value.
Right. Assessing the damage, literally. And, okay, dealing with insurance companies, I imagine that's not always fun. The info kind of hints they might not always play fair.
That's putting it mildly sometimes. Look, insurance companies are businesses. Their goal is often, you know, to pay out as little as possible.
Makes sense from their perspective, I guess.
Sure. But not great if you're the injured person. They have teams of adjusters and lawyers working for them. Hiring your own lawyer basically levels the playing field. Attorney knows their tactics, speaks their language, and isn't afraid to push back against, like, a lowball offer. They fight for a fair settlement, one that covers medical bills, lost wages, and, importantly, pain and suffering.
Pain and suffering. That seems hard to put a number on.
It is. And that's another area where an experienced lawyer's evaluation is key. They know how courts and insurance companies typically value that based on the specifics.
Gotcha. So it's about having an expert advocate. Now, the material you sent lists a whole bunch of different case types they handle in Hazleton. It's quite the list.
It really is. It shows how many different ways things can unfortunately go wrong and lead to injury.
Let's maybe touch on some of the big ones. Car accidents seem like the most common, probably.
Very common, yes. And a Hazleton car accident lawyer's job there is first investigation. Getting the police report, talking to witnesses, looking at the scene maybe, collecting medical records.
So gathering proof?
Exactly. And figuring out the full impact of the injuries. Not just the ER visit, but like physical therapy down the road, time off work, all of it.
Okay. Then there are truck accidents. The website mentions some huge settlement numbers for those, like $26 million, $20 million. Wow, why the focus?
Well, truck accidents often cause catastrophic injuries, just the physics of it, you know? A massive truck versus a car.
Yeah, no contest.
Right. The injuries can be life-altering, permanent, so the damages are potentially much higher. Plus, trucking involves specific federal and state regulations.
Well, interesting.
Yeah, rules about driving hours, maintenance, cargo loading. A specialized truck accident attorney in Hazleton knows those rules inside and out, which is crucial for proving negligence against a trucking company. Those big numbers reflect the severity and sometimes the complexity of those cases.
That makes sense. The complexity adds up. Okay, what about workers' compensation? How does that fit in?
So workers' comp is basically insurance for injuries or illnesses that happen because of your job.
Right.
Your employer's insurance is supposed to cover medical bills and some lost wages, but sometimes claims get denied or there are disputes about treatment.
Vassals.
Exactly. So a workers' comp lawyer helps injured workers navigate that system, challenge denials, and make sure they get the benefits they're supposed to.
Okay, moving down the list. Motorcycle accidents. You hear about those being bad?
Very much so. Riders are just so exposed. Injuries are often severe. Brain injuries, spinal cord injuries. Yeah. And sometimes there's bias, people assuming the rider was being reckless. A motorcycle accident lawyer works hard to establish liability clearly. Investigating the scene, witness statements, sometimes accident reconstruction experts are needed to show exactly what happened.
Reconstruction experts? Wow.
Yeah, they can analyze skid marks, vehicle damage, things like that to figure out speeds and actions.
Okay. Pedestrian accidents too, especially in town centers.
Another vulnerable group. If a driver hits a pedestrian, a lawyer helps the victim prove the driver was negligent and get compensation for, again, all those damages. Medical, lost income, pain, suffering.
And medical malpractice. That sounds really serious and complicated.
It is. It's when a doctor or hospital makes a mistake, deviates from the accepted standard of care, and harms a patient.
Like a wrong diagnosis or a surgical error.
Exactly. Misdiagnosis, surgical mistakes, medication errors, anesthesia problems, even birth injuries. These cases are tough. They require deep medical and legal knowledge. You definitely need experienced lawyers for these.
I can imagine. Then there's, sadly, nursing home abuse.
Yeah, it's a difficult subject, but important. It can be physical abuse, neglect, even financial or emotional abuse.
Terrible.
It is. An attorney helps investigate, hold the facility accountable, and seek justice for the resident and their family, protecting vulnerable people.
Absolutely. Okay, premises liability. That's injury on someone else's property.
Correct. Property owners generally have a duty to keep their property reasonably safe for visitors.
Mm-hmm.
If they fail, say they don't clean up a spill or a broken stair isn't fixed or a dog with known aggression isn't restrained.
And someone gets hurt.
Right. Slip and falls, dog bites are common examples. A premises liability lawyer helps the injured person file a claim against the negligent property owner.
And defective products. If something you buy hurts you.
Yep. If a product has a design flaw, a manufacturing defect, or even inadequate warnings, and it causes injury, the company's involved manufacturer, distributor, or retailer could be liable. A lawyer helps figure out who's responsible and prove the product was defective.
Lots of possibilities there. Finally, wrongful death. The site mentioned a huge $32 million settlement for that. What defines wrongful death?
It's when someone dies because of another party's negligence or wrongful act. So it could result from medical malpractice, a fatal car crash caused by a drunk driver, an assault. Basically any situation where the death wouldn't have occurred but for someone else's fault.
And the lawyer helps the family.
Yes. A wrongful death lawyer represents the surviving family members, seeking compensation for their immense loss financial support the person would have provided. Funeral expenses, loss of companionship, emotional suffering. It's about holding the responsible party accountable and providing for the family left behind.
That's a lot of ground covered. Okay, so across all these different types of cases, there's this common thread proving someone was at fault. Liability and negligence. How does that actually work? What do you need to show?
It really boils down to three, sometimes four, key elements. First, duty. Did the person who caused the harm have a legal duty to act reasonably towards the injured person?
Okay. Like, drivers have a duty to drive safely.
Exactly. Second, breach. Did that person fail in their duty? Did they act carelessly or unreasonably? That's negligence.
Texting while driving, running a red light.
Perfect examples.
Yeah.
Third, causation. Was the breach of duty, that negligence, the actual and proximate cause of the injury? You have to link their carelessness directly to the harm.
So you have to show they didn't just mess up, but their mess up caused the injury?
Precisely. Hmm. And fourth, damages. You have to show you actually suffered harm, physical injuries, medical bills, lost wages, pain, etc. Duty, breach, causation, damages. That's the formula, basically.
Duty, breach, causation, damages. Got it. And evidence is key for all that, right? The material stresses that.
Absolutely critical. Without evidence, it's just your word against theirs. Evidence could be, like we mentioned, police reports, photos, videos, witness statements, medical records.
And expert opinions, too.
Yes. Sometimes expert testimony is crucial, especially in complex cases like medical malpractice or product liability, to explain technical details or standards of care.
Now, Pennsylvania has this thing called comparative negligence. How does that factor in? What if you were maybe a little bit at fault yourself?
That's a really important concept. Comparative negligence means you can still recover damages even if you share some blame for the accident.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Your total compensation award is just reduced by your percentage of fault. So if you're found 20% responsible, you can still recover 80% of your damages.
But there's a limit.
There is. In Pennsylvania, if you are found to be 51% or more at fault, you can't recover anything. It's a modified comparative negligence rule. So as long as you're 50% or less at fault, you can still get compensation.
Okay, that's good to know. It's not necessarily all or nothing. So think about all this. When should someone in Hazleton actually pick up the phone and call a lawyer after an injury? The info suggests a few specific times.
Yeah, and they're good guidelines. Definitely if you have severe injuries.
Why specifically then?
Because severe injuries mean high medical bills, likely long recovery times, possibly permanent effects. The stakes are much higher, and the full value of the claim needs careful assessment. A lawyer ensured you account for all future costs and impacts, not just the current bills.
Makes sense. The second point was about a long recovery time.
Right. If you're seriously hurt, your focus needs to be on getting better. Dealing with insurance adjusters, paperwork, legal deadlines. It's stressful and time-consuming. A lawyer takes that burden off your shoulders, lets you heal.
Like having someone run interference for you.
Exactly. And the third situation mentioned is when liability is disputed. When the other side or the insurance company says, it wasn't our fault or it was your fault.
Ah, the blame game.
Pretty much. When fault is contested, you absolutely need a skilled lawyer. They'll investigate thoroughly, gather that crucial evidence we talked about, interview witnesses, maybe hire experts, all to build the strongest possible case proving the other party's negligence.
So basically, serious injuries, long recovery, or any fight about who caused it, those are red flags to get legal help.
Those are definitely key times, yes. Though consulting one early on is often a good idea regardless, just to understand your rights.
Good point. Okay, let's tackle some of those FAQs the material brought up, the big one. What's my case worth?
The $1 million question. Sometimes literally, I guess.
Yeah.
But the honest answer, like the website says, is it depends.
Always the lawyer answer.
Huh. Well, it's true. It depends entirely on the specifics. How bad were the injuries? How much of the medical bills? How much work was missed? What's the long-term outlook? Was there permanent disability? What's the level of pain and suffering?
There's so many variables.
Exactly. There's no magic calculator. The best way to get an idea is to talk to an experienced attorney who can evaluate your specific situation.
Okay. Fair enough. Next FAQ. Deadlines. Is there a time limit to file a lawsuit in Hazleton? The statute of limitations.
Yes, and this is super important. In Pennsylvania, the general rule for personal injury cases is you have 2 years from the date of the accident to file a lawsuit.
2 years. That's it.
That's the general rule.
Yeah.
Miss that deadline, and you likely lose your right to sue forever. But there are a couple of key exceptions mentioned.
Like what?
For minors, people under 18, the 2 year clock doesn't start until their 18th birthday. So they have until they turn 20 to file.
Okay, that makes sense.
And in some cases, like medical malpractice, the injury might not be discovered right away. Pennsylvania has a discovery rule. It means the 2 year clock might start from the date you discover the injury, or reasonably should have discovered it, not necessarily the date the malpractice occurred.
Okay. So it can be tricky. Best not to wait, I guess.
Definitely best not to wait. Contacting a lawyer sooner rather than later is always advisable.
All right. Final FAQ, and it's a big practical one. How much does it cost to hire one of these lawyers? People worry they can't afford it, especially if they're injured and out of work.
That's a very valid concern. The material explains that firms like Munley Law typically work on a contingency fee basis.
Contingency fee, meaning?
Meaning they only get paid if they win your case, either through a settlement or a court verdict. Their fee is a pre-agreed percentage of the money they recover for you.
So no upfront costs, no hourly bills.
Generally, no upfront attorney fees.
Well,
you don't pay them out of pocket while the case is ongoing. And if for some reason they don't win your case, you typically owe them nothing for their time and effort.
That seems really helpful. It removes a huge barrier for people.
It really does. It allows anyone with a valid claim to access legal representation regardless of their financial situation at the time. They call it no fee unless we win.
Okay. Good to know. The website also gives their Hazleton office details, right?
Yep. It says they're at 197 North Cedar Street in Hazleton. And they mentioned being available 24/7 by phone. Gave a couple of numbers. 844-263-8849 and a local one. 570-536-9498.
Good info. And they cover areas around Hazleton, too, not just the city itself.
Right. The site lists other areas they serve.
Okay. So, wrapping this up. For you, the listener, what are the main takeaways from this deep dive into Hazleton personal injury law?
Well, I think we've seen it covers a huge range of situations, right? Car crashes, work injuries, medical errors.
Yeah.
All stemming from potential negligence.
Yeah. The common thread is someone being harmed because someone else wasn't careful enough.
Exactly. And navigating the aftermath, dealing with insurance, proving fault. It's complex. Having an experienced local attorney seems, well,
pretty crucial for protecting your rights and getting fair compensation.
Especially understanding the true value of a claim, including future needs and suffering, not just the immediate bills.
Absolutely. And that contingency fee thing really changes the accessibility equation. It means getting expert help isn't just for people who can afford to write big checks up front.
Definitely. So maybe a final thought to leave you with. This whole area makes you think about awareness, doesn't it?
How so?
Well, we go through our days, accidents happen. But how much do we really know about our rights or what resources are available if the unexpected occurs? Maybe thinking about the what ifs a little isn't morbid, but actually empowering. Knowing your options before you need them.
That's a really interesting point. Proactive awareness versus reactive scramble. Something definitely worth considering.